Happy holidays. How's the food situation in your home? How about the heat? Do you have heat? Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. Please join us for today's conversation. On Twitter, you can find us at FullStoryWSHU. If you'd like to email, you can do so at tfs@wshu.org. Voicemail 833, call TFS. That's 833-225-5837. For many of us, the holiday season is truly special. It's a chance to speed up, then slow down, and catch up, and spend time with family and friends. But many in our region don't celebrate because they're trying to simply get enough to eat or make enough money that they can have a warm place to live. How many in our region? You're about to find out. And the numbers, I guarantee you, are going to shock you. Our guests today are Captain Jose Barrero, Salvation Army New London Corps. On the phone, Kate Lombardo, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County. And a little bit later on in the program, we'll be joined by Dr. Jessica Rosati, the Chief Program Officer of Long Island Cares. Thanks to all of you for being here. Captain, thank you for driving all the way down from New London. I appreciate that today.
Thank you, Ron.
Kate, good to speak with you again.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
How was your Thanksgiving? We spoke with you before Thanksgiving.
My Thanksgiving personally was lovely. However, for many, many people, we were very, very grateful. We struck our goal. We met our goal. And everybody who needed a Thanksgiving dinner got it. And we're happy. We're delighted that we met our goal.
What kind of numbers are we talking about?
We're talking about, when you look across Fairfield County, you're looking at about 15,000 families.
15,000 families in one of the wealthiest counties in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That number is staggering.
Well, it's a real number because people live where they work. And, you know, wealthy people can hire people to do things that I don't do, you know, that I do for myself. I mean, I polish my own nails. I, you know, everything from polishing nails to taking care of children. All of these things are paid. We have the workers live right in the community they're working in. Because to transport back and forth would be way too expensive.
Kate, tell me about which towns you serve.
We serve Wilton, Darien, New Canaan, Stamford, Norwalk, and Greenwich.
Now, you and I both know when you hear about these towns, you think white wealthy, don't you?
Yeah, you do think white wealthy, but you also see white poverty, and you see, you know, people of color in poverty. But mostly it's the working poor. When it costs $37 an hour to live in a community, just basically meeting basic needs, and you're being paid $10 to $12 an hour, if you're lucky, it's undoable. You're behind the eight ball before you even walk out the door in the morning.
I'm going to speak with the captain in a moment, but I want to just start with your personal story from the beginning. Tell us about where you grew up and your background.
Oh, grew up in Crown Heights, well, East Flatbush, Crown Heights, Brooklyn. And I did have, for a period of time, our family was on welfare. And we did, you know, I did go with my mom to the Homestead Projects to pick up our ration of the USDA TFAP commodity. I think it was once a month, as I recall, and take the buses back, and we'd have enough food in the house. I mean, it was difficult times. It was very difficult, and it's difficult for kids because you always feel like you're an outsider. You don't want people to come to your home. You just feel like you're outside looking in instead of being part of. And it's difficult to describe, but it's easy to empathize with the constituents that I serve. And That's where we're at. I'm retired now from a Wall Street firm, Goldman Sachs, and this is I run a food bank now.
So you've seen both ends of the spectrum.
Oh yeah, I've seen very, very wealthy people jump up when we're on a. I was in legal and compliance when we were on, an all-nighter, jump up and scream that they just wanted to go home and collect welfare and live. And I would want to scream back, you could try it for, I give you a week, and you'll be crawling back to any job that will take you. But I couldn't out myself there. I didn't. No one knew. Just kept quiet about it. My background was, went to school. Came to work, that was it. It was my background. It wasn't until after I started the food bank that people who knew me then began to ask why. Why did you go, into this? And I told them. I remember one time working to set up our computer system, and the gentleman working to set up our website, and the gentleman I was speaking with and working with for days in and days out here at the food bank asked me where I grew up. And I told him, Brooklyn. And he said, oh, and, and he called out a very wealthy area of Brooklyn. I said, no, I was in the middle. I was in Flatbush, Crown Heights. And he said, wow, he goes, you speak perfect English. And it was like, I was almost floored. I'm not entitled to speak perfect English because I come from poverty? Really?
I'm just thinking about when I was a kid, the first time I was in London, I was speaking with a gentleman, and he said, you don't have that bad of an accent for an American. Kate, Captain Jose Barrero is with us. He's from the New London
Hi,
Corps
Captain.
Of the Salvation Army. Captain, tell us about the Salvation Army. What is it that you do in Connecticut?
Well, in Connecticut, we do many, many, many services. Right now, we're concentrating on the holiday assistance programs. Just to give you a number, last year we helped around 29,000 individuals. With just holiday assistance. This is just food, toys, rental assistance.
29,000.
29,000. But, people see us a lot during Christmas because they see us ringing the bell.
Absolutely.
On the stores.
That's when people think of the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we are open all year round. We actually, most of the places are open probably six days out of the week. We probably take Saturdays off. We have early childhood assistance programs. We have shelters. We have an emergency disaster service program where if there's a fire or there's an emergency or a big disaster, we go there. For example, our canteen, we call it a canteen, EDS canteen, emergency disaster canteen, was one of the first one who went to 9/11 in New York. And also, we were talking about it, to the we responded to the emergency at a Newtown shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We went there. So we helped the victims, but we also helped the servicemen, the policemen, the firefighters. We have after-school programs. Of course, Salvation Army, we're Christian, so we also offer spiritual help.
I should mention that you are a pastor.
Yes, we are a minister. It means that I can marry and I can bury people. No, but we have service on Sundays and during the week. We have Bible studies. But we help everybody without discrimination. So anybody who wants to come to our place, to our buildings, to our programs, they are welcome.
What Kate was just saying a moment ago, that over Thanksgiving, 15,000 being helped in Fairfield County. You've seen other parts of Connecticut. Is that even worse in New London or in other parts?
But I don't know if we're worse or best than them, but I know we are going through a very difficult time. Right now, just in our center, and we the New London Corps, the non-Salvation Army, is one of the smallest ones, compared with Hartford or Bridgeport and New Haven. And we help just for Thanksgiving baskets, we gave over 400 Thanksgiving baskets. Mm. That means a turkey or a chicken with the fixings for the meals. And we were just one of the organizations in New London helping. So, yes, it's a big, big thing. And the thing is that people don't know that just a turkey costs so much money. Mm-hmm. To buy a turkey just to have just a regular Thanksgiving meal is a big expense for a working family or somebody who's struggling financially. So even for us to get it is very, very difficult. We have to start planning from September just to trying to get what we need just so we can help.
With us on the phone is Kate Lombardo, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County. In the studio is Captain Jose Barrero from the Salvation Army, the New London Corps. Kate, how do you get your donations?
Well, we get it from mass mailings, and very similar to what other nonprofits do, going out, speaking to groups, enlightening them on the topic that poverty does exist in their midst. And, it's a constant struggle. I think the captain would agree with me that it's a struggle, first of all, to get the concept that poverty does exist here across, and then second, to actually, be out there all of the time getting your mission across. And what I have to say about what Captain said about the turkey being very, very expensive for Thanksgiving, consider that, what we spent for our Thanksgiving meals, and consider that for most of those people, it was 6 or 7 hours worth of work, worth of pay to get a holiday dinner together. So that means that they worked a whole day just to put the money together to get a proper Thanksgiving, one whole day. So when you start looking at what it really costs these people and the choices they are forced to make, it's really sad, and I wish people would realize where how home cleaners go. And I just wish people would realize that all these little things that are done for us every day are done on the backs of the poor. And I just don't know. I don't know what the captain thinks of that, but I
do agree.
Having to work, how many hours for dinner, a holiday dinner. And then you have Christmas a month away.
Mm-hmm. And then what if you're a parent trying to get toys for your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Then thank God you have the Salvation Army, you have Toys for Tots, you have organizations. But without those organizations, the child doesn't get a toy. And then they go back to school. And what did you get for Christmas? What did you get for Christmas? And that poor child, again, feels like the outsider looking in. Because what are they going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Either exaggerate and lie or just say, I only got one toy or I didn't get anything. It crosses all barriers.
Yes,
it's emotional. It crosses all barriers.
I do agree, Kate. Every time... I meet a child and I'm trying to help. We're trying to help the youth. It's so hard for them to focus on their goals or focus on their career, what are they going to be? Because they are trying to figure out how they can deal with today and tomorrow. And
right. And
especially now in Christmas and in the holidays, everybody's thinking about, the PS3-4 or whatever they call it. I have four boys and they know all that stuff. But the toys that the kids want today, they are very, very expensive. And when they go back to school and they cannot even compare what they got with the other kids, they either lie or they turn to be quiet, and that's how they sometimes they isolate themselves. They don't even want to be in those type of conversations or type of friendships because mm-hmm. they don't want to feel left out. So, yes, I see the same thing in our area.
Kate, have you seen...
And it causes depression. It causes all sorts
anxiety.
Of things in children. Mm-hmm. Anxiety, high anxiety. It's all sorts of things. I remember we were fortunate enough to go to a Catholic school, and on certain days we could go to, you would get to wear your own dress to school. Well, I would lie and say that I forgot and wear my uniform.
Mm.
I mean, just to save face. And that's not unlike what the children are learning now. They're just struggling from day to day to day. They can't think long term.
No. No.
They can't.
No. No, no.
Kate, we had talked about this the other week. Is it getting better or worse in our area?
I think in many ways it's getting worse. I think the spread between the wealth, those who have and those who have not, has broadened and continues to broaden. And I think it's getting far worse. It's getting harder and harder for people to even find housing. People are doubling up. And then, of course, you have a health department who runs out because they don't agree with that. But that's the only way they can stay housed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult. And it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And I hesitate to think what's going to happen in January when the cost of living goes in for Social Security. And what that will do to all of those people who are Title 19, they're on Social Security, will it pull them over the top, the threshold?
Mm.
And will they be declined Medicaid?
Mm.
And are our state representatives looking at that?
I think that's going to have to be a show that we'll have to do in early January. I promise you that. Captain, are
because
we talking about... Yeah, I'm sorry, Kate. I was going to ask the captain, are we specifically talking about the working poor in Connecticut? Those who are working, but they have to work two or three jobs. What Kate was saying before, you have to work maybe your main job and then your evening job, then the job on the weekend. And this is just to break even, to be able... Not to save money or buy expensive things, to break even, to pay your rent, to buy the gas if you're lucky enough to have a car, and to have food.
You both are from this area. I grew up in Puerto Rico, so it's the way of life is not as expensive out here. Then I moved to Buffalo, New York, where it was relative cheaper to live. It was okay. Then I moved to New Jersey. It got more expensive. But when I came to Connecticut, I could not believe it. The rent is so high. And I have families, and just like you said, I have families that the husband is working two or three jobs. I'm talking two full times, and then when they can, when they have off, they do something else. And then the wife is doing two jobs too. And then the kids are taking care, are at home by themselves, because that's the only way they can do, just to pay the rent, have the car, because they need a car to go to work. And sometimes they need two, because both of them work in different places. And afford the oil, afford the electricity. And, you know, today they have to have internet. They have to have the cell phones are a tremendous expense, but they need it. So it's very, very, very difficult. So to answer your question, yes, we see very poor people, people with disabilities who have like a limited income. And then we have the working family who are struggling. And you see people that you may think that they should be doing okay because they have good college degrees. They have good jobs. They're working, they're working good. But they're still struggling to make it. And you see them coming in. Sometimes they feel so ashamed.
When we did the program a few weeks back, one of the things that surprised me was they were talking about the number of college students nowadays who have to go to food banks, and food banks are being set up on some college campuses because they don't have enough money for food. So they have to choose. And then on top of that, they were saying there were even some associate professors who were going to the food banks for the same reason, because you would think that they were working a good job where they were getting enough money, but there wasn't enough to actually go out and go to the supermarkets.
No. It's amazing when we get college students to come and volunteer. And when they see what we do, when they see the things that we offer, for example, the food pantry, you can see when they took me aside and said, can I apply to get food?
Mm.
And it breaks your heart because our young kids, they don't think about all these programs because probably their parents were the one struggling doing it.
Absolutely.
And now, they're trying to find out how they can get help.
Right.
And something, like I said, they feel ashamed to do it. You can see it goes to the whole spectrum, and it's not even now. Sometimes we think it's just the minorities who need help, but now you can see the whole spectrum, all races, all religion coming.
Poverty doesn't discriminate.
No,
does not. No.
Kate, before I forget, and because I know we have a number of minutes left in this segment, but I'd rather do it now. So if someone is interested in volunteering, in donating, and we'll do it again a few times before the end of the program, how can they give to the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County, and then we could do the same for the Salvation Army? How do they reach you?
Well, they can go on to the website at www.foodbanklfc.org, or they can call at 203-358-8898, extension 204.
203-358-8898, extension 204, or Food Bank, LFC, Lower Fairfield County, .org, right? Foodbanklfc.org.
Yes.
For the Salvation Army?
Okay. They can either go to our website, it's gift.salvationarmy.org/New London, or they can text gift. Greater New London, GNL, 27177. So the number that they mark is 7177, and then they text GIFT Greater New London. And they can also call us at 860-443-6409, or they can also send their donation at 11 Governor Winthrop Boulevard, New London, Connecticut, 006-320.
So 11 Governor Winthrop Boulevard, New London, Connecticut, 06320.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. And we'll give it a few more times before the end of the program. Kate, what do you need? What does the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County need right now?
Well, we're going to need food to get us through the winter months so that we can distribute it to agencies. And
do you mean canned food or something?
Canned food, frozen food. We have walk-in refrigerator, walk-in freezer. We can take fresh produce. We can take just about anything. We need that to get us through this winter months. And as Captain pointed out, the latchkey children, we would like food that's safe for the children to prepare at home alone so that we don't have two social issues where, God forbid, they set a fire trying to cook a meal. Mm-hmm. So any kind of canned pasta or canned soups and things like that that children can prepare safely at home in a microwave without having to light a stove.
That's a great idea. That's great. I didn't even think of that. Okay, so canned pasta, something?
For us? Rice.
Rice, yes.
Yeah, people ask us a lot for rice. Mm. So if rice is good. Beans, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of frozen meat, protein. It could be in can or frozen. You know, chicken is always good. Macaroni and cheese. I know it's not the healthier one, but it's easier to prepare.
Cheap, nice and easy in the winter time.
Exactly. And milk.
Yeah.
Milk, okay.
Yeah. Shelf-stable milk
exactly.
So that it can be in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Even for the elderly, if they can't get out because of ice on the roads, they have a package of Parmalat in their cupboard.
Kate, with the few minutes that we have left in this segment, if you had a dream that could be fulfilled for the food bank, and if a wealthy donor was listening to our program and said, you know, I'm going to, what would you say to people? How can they help you live that dream?
I think being in my dream would be for the hunger issue to be solved, not just Band-Aid after Band-Aid after Band-Aid. We've been playing around with this issue for 60 years plus, and it's sad, and we shouldn't be. I just would like to see it fixed. There is a way to fix it. I think people should just get down and talk. I mean, they're elected officials, and we've asked them to please fix not only our streets, but, you know, fundamentally help the people live a life worth living.
Captain?
For me?
Yeah.
I would like to eradicate poverty. I would like to...
Yes.
If someone is hearing me, we need to help our children. We need to help our youth. We need to help them realize that there's a better future, that they can be a productive part of our community. We need to help them, to challenge them, to help them take out that victim mentality, and that they can do whatever they want to do, whatever they imagine that they can do. And the only way that we can do it is to help us fund the program, like the after-school program. Right now, we're trying to open a Boys and Girls Club in New London, the Salvation Army Boys and Girls Club. And we need to hire tutors. We need to hire youth workers. We need to hire a coordinator. And that all take money.
Mm.
So we need cash. We need donations so we can do all this, because all these programs need funding, need money to work. I wish we could, you know, we live on volunteers, and thankful our volunteers.
How many volunteers do you have?
In a regular day, around 20.
Mm.
So we depend on volunteers. But for this type of job, I need people who are prepared with the right education, so they can help our kids. They can help our youth. You know, arts. We do drum classes. We do singing classes. We do things that dancing. All that we put it in the after school program, so we can get the kids out of the houses, so they don't be by themselves. They have a safe place to be, and we can help them with homework, and we can help them with their future. So that's what I need.
And joining us now, I know we had a little scheduling mix up, but I'm glad she could join us, Dr. Jessica Rosati, the Chief Program Officer of Long Island Cares. Dr. Rosati, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Happy holidays to you.
You too.
Thank you. You are a food bank. You serve the families in Nassau and Suffolk County. How big of a problem is it there?
So we estimate there's about 272,000 people who are food insecure living on Long Island. Of that number, about 90,000 are children. So, you know, when you look at our population and our very small demographics of just two counties, it's quite a large number.
Again, we were throwing out some numbers a bit earlier in the program, and I said it in my introduction. I said, I think people, if you're listening to this program, you will be shocked at the number of how many people in our listening area are food insecure or going hungry every night, kids who don't have enough to eat when they don't go to school. How did we get to this point?
You know, I think it's a combination of issues. You know, if you look at the demographic of Long Island, you know, we were once the Gold Coast of New York. And although we have various areas of affluence, we have very real, deep issues of poverty and urban issues, underemployment, you know, high cost of living, child care. There's so many different factors where, you know, families are really just squeaking by.
Captain Barrero is with us, and he was commenting before on just what you were saying. And he was saying, because he used to live in New Jersey, and then he lived in Buffalo. And when he came to Connecticut, the cost of living, of getting a house, renting someplace, once you pay for that, there isn't much left.
No,
there isn't. unfortunately, that's a very true statement. And, you know, I think what we find now is, you know, folks who may have dealt with chronic poverty, we're now seeing a shift where it's really the working poor. So it's the working class folks that are struggling now and really, you know, having to make those difficult choices opposed to, you know, do I pay my mortgage or do I go food shopping? And I think that's where food banks, food pantries, soup kitchens, they come in because they help supplement those needs.
Can you define for me working class folk?
So we consider working class individuals, you know, or the working poor, if you will, individuals who are working. They're working full time, but their salary is not enough to meet their basic needs, which would include housing, you know, and food.
Because I think for many of us, there is a misperception when you hear about someone going to a food bank or going to the Salvation Army. You're thinking about someone who maybe is very poor, if you understand what I'm saying. You don't think about people who are working maybe multiple jobs.
Right, right. And I think, you know, what we've seen just, you know, I mean, my tenure, you know, I've been with the food bank for 9 years. And in the 9 years that I've been here, you know, we've really had to change our thinking and the way that we serve people by making sure we're open, you know, in the evening and on weekends and offering services beyond the provisions of food. So, okay, if you're hungry, we're going to feed you. But why are you hungry? You know, have you considered looking to see if you're eligible maybe for other government entities, you know, supplemental services like SNAP, food stamps, health insurance, child care, you know, all different subsidies that may or may not, you know, help beyond the provisions of food.
Also on the phone with us, Dr. Rosati, is Kate Lombardo, who's the executive director of the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County. And Kate and I were speaking earlier because she serves communities that we agreed many people, when they hear about them, they think wealthy white.
Yep. Yep.
And is that the same on Long Island?
I think we're predominantly mixed. You know, we have a very large Hispanic community on Long Island and serve a tremendous immigrant population, which creates kind of another barrier, if you will, because of our current political climate, if you will, you know, it's hard getting people to be receptive of our service. But I would say the demographic that we're seeing is pretty mixed, very large Hispanic population, and then a mix of, you know, Caucasian, African-American, and everybody under the sun.
Kate, can I bring you back in for a moment? You're listening sure. to Dr. Rosati. Does it sound familiar?
Yes, it does. Sadly, it does. It sounds absolutely familiar. People are, it's everyone under the sun. It's seniors who worked all their lives all the way down to the infant. And I just wish that the people who have and who can put their children to bed at night and know and pat them on the back and whatever, say a prayer, whatever they do, whatever is customary, where that child can roll over with a full belly and go to sleep for 8 hours. I wish they would think about that mother who's trying to put a baby who's crying to sleep, who's hungry, and she has to be up in the morning to work a job, one of her first jobs. I wish that people would start thinking out of their own boxes and start thinking about other people. I wish we had more empathy.
Yeah.
Doctor,
I could not concur further. I mean, you're absolutely correct. You know, we're in a very interesting time, I think, in society and just the overall tone, if you will. And I'd like to see as well, you know, that general compassion for every man, woman, and child. And I think, you know, on Long Island, we've been fortunate. You know, Long Islanders care. You know, they care about each other genuinely. They're giving. Now, this is the busiest time for food banks, and it's because people resonate with the holidays. And, oh, well, it's a holiday. Does everybody have enough to eat to celebrate? But, you know, hunger is a year-round issue. So to bring awareness to that year-round and to see a consistent flow of donation and just service would be ideal.
Captain Barrero, I didn't forget about you, because while we're talking about food, you also help the kids in terms of giving toys, items such as that. What do you need this time of the year? How can people give?
Well, like I said at the beginning, they can send their donation to 11 Governor Winthrop Boulevard in New London, Connecticut, or they can go to our website, giftsalvationarmy.org/New London. Beside cash donations, we also are needing of unwrap new toys, especially for kids, for boys. Every year we go through the same problem that we got enough for girls and babies, but then for boys 8 to 12, we almost don't get nothing. I don't know why, but we always had less for boys. So, you know, we're looking for boy toys. What I'm talking about is talking about something that it could be good, that they will be feel proud. A parent will feel proud to give them to them in Christmas.
Give us some examples.
We're
talking about sporting equipment, things like that. Basketball, football, bicycles. Oh, nice.
Bicycles right now are really economical, and they are very attractive. They're good for our kids. You know, they do exercise with them. Educational toys, Legos. Legos are really good now for our kids. So those like that. We also need coats, gloves, hats, winter boots for kids, because a lot of our families, our kids don't have the appropriate outwear for this type of weather. And you can see them, because the kids cannot even close their coats because it's not even their size, or the zipper is closer. So we need, we also can use that, because we, beside the toys, we like to give them with clothing if we have, shoes, coat, hats, and gloves.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Dr. Rosati, is this a dangerous time of the year for us? Because I think of the kids who will soon be on break. They won't be going to school, and they won't be going to get the meals that they get at school.
Well, for Long Island, we've recognized that, and we actually, within the past, we're probably in our fourth year now, we developed a mobile breakfast food truck to serve children when school's not in session. So that truck's actually on the road every day that school's not, and going to various locations throughout Long Island and making sure that kids have access to grab-and-go nutritious breakfast food items. So that's part of the supplement that we're helping to secure. So, you know, we've been, like I said, fortunate. You know, we recognize the need, and really, I think, focus on creating programs that meet individuals where they are, because it may not be practical for mom to get to the local food pantry or soup kitchen, given the schedule that she may or he may have. So, you know, these programs help supplement those needs and making sure that services are accessible to families when they need it the most.
Kate? Does the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County have something like that, or are there services like that in this area?
There are services like that provided by other organizations, but the Food Bank itself just distributes to the organizations and makes them, you know, if their truck runs, if their food truck runs out, they can come here quickly and have it replenished with plenty of food and things like that. But there is a mobile pantry out there, and there is another place where they can just get fresh produce once a month all year long, and which is very, very nice. But again, it's located where you know, as the doctor said, the distribution and the times is critical for these people because there are so many times they can't get there. It's not that they don't want to, simply that they can't get there. And it's, you know, it's just the poverty are so looked down upon, like, and it's very, very difficult. And as with the current political times, people are hesitant to reach out to help. Mm-hmm. They're hesitant to get on a line.
I don't understand that thinking. It's so frustrating. I just don't get it.
There are people who just hesitant to get on that line. I mean, I didn't when in the 60s when they were food stamps and they were colorful money like Monopoly money. A tremendous size. I walked 22 blocks with my best friend Robert and went grocery shopping. I didn't want anyone to see me in my
community. I didn't mean that. I meant that if your kid was hungry, you know, that you would do what needs to be done. Do you know what I mean?
I'm sorry to jump in, but the missing link is when families are being threatened, you know, their sanity, their safety. When families don't know that they're safe, they're not going to put their children in a situation that's going to jeopardize them.
Mm.
So I think that's the underlining issue. And I think that as, you know, community partners, I think our voice really matters. And by communicating through our network of pantries, our soup kitchens, our programs, and all the other organizations that we service, by letting people know that you're safe, you know, you're safe to come and to receive service from us. I think that's the voice that needs to come through. And although it may be challenging, it's something that I think what are we in, a year and a half now under this political climate? It's something that we really have to say very clearly to people to make sure that people are getting access to services.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Please.
I just want to say something. That's what I think education is very important. Not just education in the clients or the people who are in need, part, but also on our part, we need to know what the need is. Mm. We need to know what other resources we have in our community. We need to be able to have a good communication with the other agencies, with the churches, with the school system, so we know what is available, so we can help those when we cannot help them. So, for example, in our area, we have a phone number where people can call, and it will let them know which of the food pantry, which of the organization is open that can help them in an emergency base. So we need to understand the need of the community and. We need to educate our community, let them know they can come, where they can go.
And that it will be safe.
And it's safe for them. It is in a language that they can understand. And they understand that we are not a government base or political base organization, that we are just there to help.
You're just good people doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, I'm going to get personal with you for a second, because the last time we spoke... when we finished speaking, I said, how are you feeling nowadays? And I believe you said you were depressed, you were frustrated. Do you still feel that way?
Well, I do openly. I do admit to dealing with depression, but I'm frustrated at the whole set of circumstances, because when it was first established, when this great thing Lyndon Johnson put into effect, it was to get people out of poverty. And all I keep seeing is more and more and more generations of poverty going on. And we were fortunate. We fell into poverty. So we knew the difference between what it was to have and then suddenly not have. So we knew the difference between the worlds. We're now raising children who have no idea that there's another world out there. Mm. It's just a world that they can see on TV, that they can watch from afar at school, but it's not a world for them.
Dr. Rosati, similar sentiments?
You know what? No. And I'm sorry, Kate, that that's what you're saying. I think it's, you know, it just demonstrates just the difference of, you know, how the states operate, you know, being in New York and being on Long Island. I have hope that for the past nine years, we've been able to create, you know, programs, and, you know, that's possible by private funding. So I think people are hearing us. And I think for every single person that we're serving, you know, I want to be hopeful that, you know, we're making a difference and making their quality of life a little bit better. And, mm-hmm. you know, as long as I'm able to do that, and as long as our organization is able to do that, we're going to. I think that, you know, when Harry Chapin founded Long Island Cares, you know, his intent was for us to close, you know, that we would end hunger and everything, you know, would be okay. And, you know, sadly, 38 years later, that may not be the case. However, we're still in a position where we can help and we can make that difference. So unfortunately, there will always be some type of need in this world, some type of unmet need. And I think organizations like the great people I'm on this line with, I think we're that hope.
I have to end it there. And because this was an amazing conversation, I enjoyed every moment of it. As sad as it is, it was a wonderful conversation. I hope we made a difference. Dr. Jessica Rosati, the Chief Program Officer of Long Island Cares, Kate Lombardo, the Executive Director of the Food Bank of Lower Fairfield County, Captain Jose Barrero drove all the way down. We appreciate it. The Salvation Army, the New London Corps. Ann Lopez is the producer. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thanks to all of you for being part of the full story. Thank you to all my wonderful guests. We will talk with you tomorrow.